Hello and welcome to In the News. I'm your host, Crystal Carmen Stevens. And with us today, of course, is Father William Weary. Father, how are you?
Very well, Crystal. How are yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
Good.
It's definitely been a newsworthy kind of cycle. It's been.
Sure.
This headline from the Catholic Herald UK, it really caught my eye. And let me just read out the headline. Anonymous cardinal excoriates vindictive Francis for fracturing church.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, it's the dust is definitely being kicked up, but we don't know that the content is stunning, astounding. First of all, complimenting the Pope a little bit in the beginning on his outreach to the poor and concern for the environment, God's creation, but then going into six or seven criticisms that are to the point. I got to tell you that I welcome this. I do. We don't know what country the cardinal's from. We don't know anything
about him.
It's titled Demos 2, based on Demos 1, a statement that came out several years ago, very similar, critical of the Pope's theology, particularly from revealed to be Cardinal Pell, the Australian cardinal now deceased.
The late Cardinal Pell, yes.
Yes, George Pell. And so out of respect for him, this is called Demos 2. It's interesting to note that, you know, the Pope has been critical of the Church of the United States as being some sort of right-wing stick in the mud and has picked on the United States. But these criticisms are coming from all over the world. I just want to make that point, especially with the fiducia supplicans on blessings of same-sex unions, where there's an outcry from Africa on this, and still is.
Yeah, but anyway, Europe as well. I mean, some parts of Europe. I mean, Hungary.
Oh, yeah.
Poland, lots of places have been. It's been from every corner of the church, I think.
I'll say this again. I've said it before. I didn't think some people will be upset with me, but I didn't think fiducia supplicans was that bad of a document. It did not cross the line, and yet, paradoxically, at the same time, I welcome the outcry. I think the criticism is very important, and this Demos 2, the anonymous statement, called for the next pope. And it was addressed primarily to the cardinals of the Catholic Church, I believe. Is that correct? I believe Demos 2 was addressed to.
I do believe you're correct there. I do believe.
And calling
so some
for,
of the points that Demos wanted to make is that Francis is autocratic, vindictive, and confusing. Those are pretty strong words.
Yes. And what else? What other kinds of things were there? Of course, the confusion you. You mentioned that, and the ambiguities of doctrine, and a reminder that the Pope, in so many words, the Pope is subservient to divine revelation, and that would be sacred scripture and sacred tradition, as taught appropriately, authentically by the authentic church teaching authority, magisterium, and he is a steward of that. He's not to he said it in Demos 2, not to quote unquote invent doctrine.
Yeah.
And so
a quote
that's
that I found incredibly interesting is this: ambiguity is neither evangelical nor welcoming. It breeds doubt and schismatic impulses.
Hear, hear. Hip, hip, hooray. I mean, this statement goes right along with certainly my thinking for what that's worth. Maybe worth nothing. Nevertheless, this is a series of theological statements over the years coming from professional theologians. There have been two or three signatory statements where theologians have signed on from all over the world, largely from Europe, right after Amoris Laetitia, where he allows very subtly or not so subtly in a footnote for the divorced and remarried under certain circumstances to receive communion. In any case, there was a signatory statement that came out after that. And there's been others. Of course, the Dubia cardinals, obviously, the four cardinals that came out with a statement very concerning about the doctrinal stances that the Pope is taking. So Demos 2, this is the latest iteration of that. And we can only hope that, the Pope has said he doesn't want to retire unless he has to. And but he's certainly is up there in years. And this statement has put out a cry to the College of Cardinals to vote somebody in who's going to reverse, quite frankly, reverse the damage.
Yeah, so one of these key points that he makes is that a key flaw of Francis's rule is its retreat from a convincing theology of the body, the philosophy developed by St. John Paul II.
Right.
Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree. And he, Pope Francis came in, and the pontifical, the John Paul II set up pontifical dicastery for life. I don't have the exact name of it, but it was a very pro-life organization at the Vatican, one of the departments or sub-departments that was stellar in promoting life and against abortion. Pope Francis came in and really flipped that upside down with personnel who were, again, ambiguous and ambivalent on certain aspects of the pro-life philosophy and theology. So yes, I would agree with that as well. The Pope has been on record as being against abortion. We all get that.
Yeah, yeah.
And but he's been ambiguous on the LGBTQ agenda. We'll talk more about that in a couple minutes. Speaking of which, I think we made our point there, and I'd like to segue on.
Can I just ask you one quick question?
Sure.
So we have this very eye-popping headline, and I just want to ask this question. Do we really need this now as a church?
Well, no, we certainly don't. What we need right now is unity and unity of doctrine and belief and charity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some have crossed the line in their attacks on the Pope. I don't think anything you and I have done here, in my opinion, maybe people, certain listeners would disagree, has been inappropriate. But the Pope should receive criticism. I was going to make the point a few minutes ago. Well, I think I did already, that he's a subservient to divine revelation. He's not to invent a divine revelation, or there is a legitimate development of doctrine. We get that. And he has invoked that principle, but it has to be respectful of the content of doctrine that's been passed on to us by sacred scripture and sacred tradition. So, the Pope is subject to constructive, shall we say, charitable criticism, as St. Paul, of course, upbraided St. Peter on a certain a point, and it's recorded in Galatians. St. Paul corrected Peter on his stance with the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. We won't go into that right now. You can read about it. So it does, you know, it doesn't mean we're disrespectful of the person or of the office.
The reason I ask that is because I might be jumping ahead. I'm sorry about this. But do we really need this now? Do we need these divisive things? I personally don't think so. And that leads me to talk about the demise of Church Militant. Church Militant will be out of business the end of April.
Yeah,
April.
That's correct. Yes. And for those who don't know, Church Militant was a platform, a internet platform that was very, very orthodox. Led by Michael Voris, who called his commentary show the Vortex, but the overall umbrella organization that he founded was Church Militant. And yes, you're right, it's going out of business now, facing a defamation suit, and also scandals regarding Michael Voris himself. I was ambivalent about a Church Militant. It was a little bit too edgy for me. He would he would excoriate certain church leaders and just a sort of ad hominem, attack their persons.
Yeah.
In addition to their stances. I mean, do things like put up pictures of Cardinal Dolan on the screen with devil horns and that sort of thing. Because
I mean, that led to a $500,000 defamation lawsuit that they lost, which is a great reason why they are going out of business.
Yes. And, so, I totally get it. He was calling out church leaders on their orthodoxy or lack thereof. And it could be informative. But the denigration of persons and the mockery and
Church Militant, it had its place, but I think they went kind of off the deep end and just too much divisiveness. Vermont Christian School. They were going to play a basketball game, and they didn't because there was a biological male, and the coach was worried about the health and safety of his girls. So the the state of Vermont has sanctioned this school, and they no longer cannot participate not only in sports activities, but in extracurriculars, drama clubs, drama, speech debate. You can't do debates with other schools. The tuition assistance is no longer given for people to be able to afford to send their kid to private school. You can send them to any other school, but not that one. It's absolutely terrible. That's a huge fallout. And I want to ask this question. When did the needs of the few outweigh the needs of the many? When did that happen?
Well, that's the day and the age we live in. We are in sort of a, shall we say, a victim culture. And there's certain appropriateness to that. But the underdog rules now. And whoever's perceived as the underdog enjoys all kinds of advocacy from the majority, no matter, you know, how small the underdog is in numbers. Right now, you know, the victim moves. The underdog is sort of in the vocal majority, and people will uphold the one they consider to be the underdog, no matter what the content of the issue is. And the LGBTQ community has certainly seen that way by the majority of the population. So, yeah, I think there's a flip here. The rights of the or the perceived rights of the minority are being upheld by
it's like a micro minority, though.
Yeah, that is exactly true. And certainly this is happening in our society today. We are an underdog culture, as I said, we're looking for the underdog. There's a certain appropriateness to that, an admirable aspect to that, looking out for the little guy and upholding him or her. But it can go too far in this particular area, especially in athletics, where transgenders, especially males, are turning themselves supposedly into females. By the way, you can't do that, but biologically, DNA-wise, and every way, shape, and form, you're still a male, but trying to turn themselves proposes females and injecting themselves into, you know, high school or college women's sports, and of course, wiping up in performance because the testosterone is still
they're bigger,
there.
Stronger, faster. There's no denying that.
That's right. So this is the one swimmer. What's her name? Riley Gaines. Riley Gaines is speaking out about this. J.K. Rowling is speaking of the author of the Harry Potter novels is digging in on this. So definitely.
And on that note, let's take a break and we'll be back with more In the News. Welcome back to In the News. I'm your host, Crystal Carmen Stevens. And with us again is Father Bill Weary. Father,
hello.
Here we go. We are going to go for part two of In the News. All right. Ended up last segment talking about transgenders, and we started talking about Demos too, and that in his talk about Pope Francis and his ambiguity towards some things. And I just wanted to point out, we found this other article in which Pope Francis had an audience on March 1st, in which he called the movement to deconstruct gender. It cancels differences and therefore cancels humanity. That seems like a pretty strong
Amen.
Statement from
Amen.
The Pope.
Yes, and it is. And this is where he's saying the right things. You know, sometimes he flips back and forth. You wonder where he is doctrinally at times. But here, and let's give credit where credit is due. And I think the traditionalists should do that.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulate him when he says the right things and upholds the truths of the faith and the truths of humanity and natural moral law, and is saying the right thing in this particular instance. I'm kind of struck by the silence of the LGBT community, not attacking him. Maybe there has been some criticism. If so, it's very mild, because people are, I think, to say. And by the way, that would be true of Islam. That would be true of Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
That would be true of the Amish and the Mennonite. And I would like to propose that the vast majority of the human population, you know, would be against same-sex marriage world religions of the world. We're sort of in the Western world. We're sort of in this modernistic bubble a little bit in Western Europe and the United States, I think, in our culture and having very supposedly advanced views that not shared by the vast majority of the world. In any case,
But we get very confused because we think that our elitist views are shared by the majority.
right. And not so. In any case, the Pope has this is he's said the right thing. He's done the right thing. I'm waiting to see what the reaction response is going to be. He's holding on to the truth here. And this is a huge issue, although it deals with a vast minority, as you pointed out, of the population. We are certainly against bullying and personal attacks of anybody in the LGBTQ community. Let's
Of
just get that
anybody,
in,
period.
period. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in its two or three paragraphs on homosexuality, has called spoke against that and called for respect of all peoples, no matter what their decisions in life. But we have to also hold to the truth, and for their good, for their salvation, and even for their mental and physical health,
Exactly. So over the
questionable.
last 11 years, this article pulls some classic Francis quotes on the LGBTQ. I don't know all the letters, I'm sorry. But here are some of the quotes. He calls it ideological colonization. I don't quite understand what that means.
I'm not
Maybe
sure
you
I
can
do either.
deconstruct
A
that for me.
colonization, again, I think it might refer to the Western culture, imposing in a colonization type way its views on the rest of the world. Maybe that's what it means.
That makes a lot of sense. He calls it a mistake of the human mind. He's also called it a war on marriage and has summed it all up as just plain nefarious.
And let's remind ourselves, there's a violation of natural moral law. Catholic Church teaches that in addition to divine revelation, the Bible and sacred tradition, as taught by the teaching authority of the Church, that content, that's a supplementary, may I say, or complementary to what's called natural moral law, which I call, maybe it's a misnomer, moral common sense on the part of even, the Gentiles, the pagans. There's a certain common sense, moral wise, that there's been a consensus throughout the century. Now, people are going to disagree with me, but there's been a consensus throughout the centuries, even before Christianity, even before Judaism, of moral common sense, what is right and what is wrong, reflected in the Ten Commandments. Now, that can be violated. That the mo natural moral law can be violated, and that's what's happening here with transgenderism. The Aztecs violated natural moral law when they
With
conducted
their human sacrifice.
human sacrifice. They thought they were doing the right thing. So it can be violated, but it is intact, and it is a real thing, natural moral law. I know people do not agree, do not think it's there's any such thing. It's a figment of the imagination. It's a real thing. I even had a Catholic priest say, I don't believe in it. I had talked to a Catholic priest. He was a missionary. I said, I don't believe in natural moral law. I think it's just made up. I don't think there is any such thing. And he gave an example. He said, I'm a missionary. And he was. I've been around the world, different cultures. And thou shalt not steal, he says. Thou shalt not steal. But in a lot of cultures, that's thou shalt not steal within the tribe or within the family. But outside the tribe or the family, all bets are off. And he thought that was evidence for no moral law. And it's quite the opposite. That the fact that there is this modicum of stance that you don't steal within the tribe and within the family, I think is evidence, in my opinion, for natural moral law. It's skewed, it's fractured when they go ahead and say, well, steal from whoever you want outside of those boundaries. That's wrong. And you can get it wrong. You can get natural moral law wrong. That's why we have divine revelation, where the Bible and sacred tradition backs up correct, reasonable, correct thinking of natural moral law. It's the purpose of good philosophy, even outside of the Bible. Good from the Greeks and Aristotle, the medieval theologians who were really enthusiastic about the Greeks because they got it right.
They got it right,
They
Socrates
got a lot
and
of
it.
things right. They got some things wrong, but they got a lot right. And so therefore, I think the Pope is proceeding from that in his statements. He doesn't use perhaps the term natural moral law, But he's saying in so many words, it just doesn't make sense to
So
do
let's
this.
talk about a flagrant violation of natural moral law.
Okay.
Let's talk about St. Patrick's Cathedral and the funeral
Oh.
for the
Oh.
gay
Yeah.
trans activist that was held there.
Oh boy.
I don't
Well,
even know where to begin.
that
I
was the
feel
most.
like that was a bad, like they brought the battle home.
They did right onto our territory.
Yeah, and that
I
made me
mean,
so angry.
oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And I wonder if I have not heard any statements from the LGBTQ community denouncing that.
Not
I
at
think
all.
there's been silence in that regard. That is the most amazing thing. In the middle of the liturgy, the priest made the decision not to go on to the liturgy of the Eucharist and not to consecrate and give out communion. God bless him.
God
Good
bless him.
call. That was a good call. And he just did a scripture service and a homily,
I saw a
and
little
that's
news
what he did.
tidbit from New York, in which a couple of days afterwards, the LGBTQ community was waiting for an apology because their mass was cut short.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
No,
really.
I didn't hear that.
Oh,
But I can't
that
believe
was
it.
squashed very quickly. They didn't want to talk about that very much because there was a firestorm that was going to erupt.
They should
They
be
definitely
ashamed.
hit a nerve. I definitely hit a nerve with a lot of people with that one.
Certainly. And they should issue an apology, which I have
Yes.
not.
Did you see some of the outfits going in there?
A little bit. I didn't see the video. I saw some photographs and all that, and it was just amazing. You wonder, children coming to a funeral like that, and what they would be exposed to. And I hate to say it, maybe this is the wrong thing to say, but they're showing their true colors. True colors shining through. And they are, and it's very aggressive, very obviously advocacy or orientated, and very pushy, and much commentary on that. It's no longer just toleration.
I mean, flip the tables, you would be so crucified
That's right.
if you went in and just tried to
Sure.
were as disrespectful as they were.
Yeah. And all are deserving of respect. Now they very much disrespected our Catholic culture, if you want to put it that way, our worship, our liturgy,
They disrespected Jesus, who was in that
and
tabernacle.
Jesus Christ as well. And but all are deserving of respect. We extend respect to them. I believe we do. They don't maybe think so, but I believe we do. The old tired phrase is God loves us the way we are, but loves us too much to leave us the way we are, calls us to greater good and to deeper spirituality and knowledge of him. And but all are deserving of respect. And I say all people are welcome in the Catholic Church, not all behaviors are welcome, but
Amen.
all people are well. It's universal, but you got to change your life and in order to come into the faith. And that's from the earliest centuries. The catechumenate, and here we are in the sort of the season of the catechumenate with people coming up on an Easter vigil. We just had the rite of election. It's all the catechumens are unbaptized seeking entry into the church. And it's true today, and it was true back then. There was a vetting process, and in the early centuries, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Whereby, and the purpose for that was to vet behavior and to, repentance and to correct and to purify the behavior of the catechumen, to leave the pagan ways behind. And it's again and again and again in Paul's letters that Paul is beating the drum on that we repentance, metanoia, that we have to change our ways. So, I put in a plug for the Courage movement. Not a big number of people, but that's those Catholic homosexuals that have changed their ways. They have same-sex attraction, and they say, I know I have same-sex attraction, but I'm not going to give in to it. And I'm, of course, the chaplain for that group. In this diocese, there's chapters all over the world, really, all over the United States and parts of the world. And God bless them. They get it.
Awesome.
They totally get it. And I've got it, but I'm not going, I understand that. And I'm not going to give in to it. So that's the avenue, and that's the redress that we have to chastity and to virtue and to sanctity to change our ways.
To change our ways. And it's not just LGBTQZers that are
Right.
called to chastity. It's all of us,
All of
that are
us.
called to our chastity of our state of life, whatever that
And you know
is.
what? We're all disordered up some. of the homosexuals object to the Catechism of the Catholic Church's statement that same-sex attraction is maybe in and of itself not sinful because you can't help it. A lot of them can't. A lot cannot help it. And I've talked, had those conversations. I've been this way since I was, an adolescent. But so it's not sinful, but the attraction is not sinful, but it is disordered because we're all disordered.
Yeah. Every single
by original, one. By original sin and the consequences of original sin. Even after baptism, we suffer the consequences of original sin, which are continuation of actual sins and suffering and death, sickness and death. Amen.
All right, Father, on that note, I'm going to have to cut us short because our time is done. If you could lead us in a nice prayer, that would be appreciated.
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, continue helping us on our Lenten journey to the Easter glory to come. May we be involved in our parishes, Lord, and rejoice in the liturgies and the worship, public worship that is done. May our Lent transpire and figure itself into once again that Easter splendor unto the eternal life that awaits us through Christ our Lord. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to End the News. We'll be back next time. Bye-bye.